This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Couples of Destiny. This is Terry, where purpose meets power. And I'm flying solo today without my not better half, my best half. And I'm going to be your host today. And today I've got with me two friends visiting us from the US. And our show today is going to stir your spirit and shift your thinking. So our topic we've been speaking about the past month would be removing masks. Without masks, we're going to operate and live life without any masks, honoring covenant. So before we go into a song break, I'm going to get Marty and my friend David to just say hello and introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Marty Jacobs. It's awesome to be on the program today.
And I'm his brother, David Jacobs, and it is also as well a blessing for us to be here today.
Ah, awesome. Guys, we are celebrating today in South Africa, 24th of September, and it's Heritage Day. You know, I know you guys have a bit of a combination of the different heritages that you come from, and we're going to dig into that a little bit and tell the listeners about that. And listeners, if you're on the show today, you might want to share it with your friends on the broadcast, listening live on our Facebook page or listening on live streaming on the website. Be sure to guide your friends to get to the podcast thereafter. And don't forget our WhatsApp number for those who need counseling and to reach out. It's 081-729-1657. I repeat, 081-729-1657. And we're going to go over to a song shortly. But before we do that, I just want to ask the two gentlemen, how long are you married? Just let the listeners know a little bit about you quickly.
Sure. So I celebrate this next summer in June will be 18 years of marriage to my beautiful wife, Kate. And it's been phenomenal. We were together about 2.5 years dating and engaged before that and have three young boys, a 11-year-old getting ready to turn 12, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. So Abraham, JJ, and Gideon.
Wow. Beautiful names.
Me and my wife, Jessica, have been married. It will be 10 years in April. She is absolutely, like you said, my best half. She rounds me out, man. I don't know what I would do without her. She is a champ.
Yeah. You know, I think when our wives come, you don't have any children yet?
No.
Well, are they in the making? They're probably coming sometime soon. We're just going to hope and trust the Lord for that. If that is your desire, be it so. Not every couple want to have children. Before we go on a song break, I also just want to say that for those of you who are celebrating today, make sure that you are celebrating with family and friends and don't be alone. You know, this is a time to connect, a time to refresh, and a time just to bring in the glory of God because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. So let's go to that song break and hear what the Lord is going to say to us hereafter. Get ready, friends. We look forward to chatting to you soon. And welcome back, family and friends, to Couples of Destiny, where faith and family matters. Here on Cape Pulpit, we're going to explore today how to keep love strong while leading others. And today we're going to aim our focus mostly on Heritage Day, since it's Heritage Day in South Africa. And we're going to celebrate culture, diversity, and unity, where you can weave your beautiful life stories into what we're going to be talking about. Let's go to you, Marty. Marty Jacobs was saved in 2005 while playing heavy metal in bars. And since then, he has ministered in jails, prisons, and various outrages. He carries a passion to see people saved and transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is amazing, Marty. Tell us a little bit about that heavy metal bars and when did the Lord meet you and how you met your beautiful wife?
Sure. So I started playing music when I was 13 years old. And that's back then the only music that we liked. If it wasn't heavy metal, it wasn't music. Now, by the grace of God, we've come to the revelation that that is not true. And we love a little bit of all, but especially praise and worship music. Mm-hmm. But early on, we started to get into playing out in some of the bars and some of the clubs at a very young age, 15 years old. And so we were exposed to all of that, all the sin that went along with it. And fast forward, around 17, the summer that I was going into my senior year of high school, our singer had had a radical encounter with Jesus and been totally set free from drug addiction. Well, he was coming back preaching Jesus to us, and we thought, well, this man's crazy. But next thing you know, it's like God took one out after another. Then it was our guitar player had gotten saved at a Christian event. And so now both of them are preaching to us. And I remember being in the kitchen with my mom and her and I talking about, well, what in the world is going on with these two? And we were like, I have no idea. And she said, do you think they're in a cult? And I said, I don't know. I've never met anyone in a cult before. So then I remember we were playing one show at the capital of our state, Columbus, Ohio, where we live. And there was a biker ministry that had come out. This biker ministry is the one that had led our singer and guitar player to the Lord and had ministered to them. Well, one of the members of that biker ministry that had come out that night to support his sobriety, I didn't realize was my future wife.
Oh, wow.
And so I was, let's say I was not in my right state of mind at the time, still was a heathen going out, mm-hmm. you know, doing my thing. But fast forward, it was a little less than a month before that, and they had convinced me to come to the church they were going to, which was about 2.5 hour drive away. And I had a radical transformation with the power of Jesus. Was never the same. Where scripture says that you must be born again, the old man must die and you must come into new life. Mm-hmm. That's the experience I had. And it was shortly after that, within about 8 months of being saved, I had done ministry then with that ministry of whom my wife was a part of. And about 8 months into it, I thought, you know, that girl over there, I could marry her one day. I could marry a girl like that. And that began the pursuit of us starting to talk and to go out for coffee and things like that. And next thing you know, 2.5 years later, we were married.
Wow. You mentioned, I mean, although you look very Jewish today, you said you had different cultures. What is the difference between your wife and you?
So my parents, they got married whenever they were pregnant with me. And so my mom comes from a thick Appalachian region just over in Kentucky, grew up a sweet, sweet woman, grew up on a farm where my father's a Jewish man. My grandparents immigrated from Germany during the Holocaust to New York City. And so my father is a Jew. So my brother and I joke around that our ethnicity is we're redneck Jews.
And we're both half Jews, so both of us together here, you get a full Jew.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, but my wife, all of her family is Irish Catholic. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, coming together, she had also grown up in the city of Columbus her whole life, where I had grown up in Appalachia in southern Ohio, down by the river, surrounded by farms, small rural areas. And so coming together, there was a lot of things that we ran into with her being a city girl and me being a country boy, along with, you know, our backgrounds of our different families and cultures. But it's amazing where scripture says two become one. Mm-hmm. And when you put God in the center and you make him king of your marriage, suddenly culture, although it's important, becomes subservient to the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so oftentimes if something happened between my wife and I, God would never speak to me about the things that my wife would need to change. Mm-hmm. He would always tell me the things I needed to change. And we would always find ourselves coming back together and repenting, and as a result, only growing stronger in our relationship.
Amen. I like that. You know, where couples, this is what we've been speaking about in the past few weeks, was about how couples want to change one another. You know, when you get married, you try and get them to fit into your mold and you want them to do certain things. And I like where we have to wait on the Lord to tell us what we should change, you know, to be different, to make a difference. I like what you said there. And then it's to go to David. You know, David's bio says that over the past year and a half, I'm sounding like them, over the past year and a half, David Jacobs had a powerful encounter with God that led to complete surrender and transformation in his life. He is hungry to witness and longs to see people saved and transformed by the same power that changed him. Now, David, I know that you mentioned earlier that you also got married and in waiting for the growth of that family, however the Lord would have it. So the half Jews, who are you married to?
her name is Jessica, and she is by far my better half. Mm-hmm. The funny thing with me and Jess is whenever we met, I was 16. It was my first job I ever worked at. I made pizzas, and she had already been working at this restaurant for a couple of years. She was the manager, and I did not like her at all. I wouldn't even speak to her. She was mean, and I was not a fan of her. And it's just funny how God works, you know. However many years later, we become married.
And she is not Jewish?
No. She is. It's funny. We consider ourselves country boys. You know, mm-hmm. We're from like the country. She's really from the country.
Okay.
Like the way I describe how she lives in the middle of nowhere. Whenever I graduated high school, there was about 94 people in my class. The population of the town that she lives in was 91.
Gee.
Yeah. So they have a stop sign and a covered bridge. That's about it.
That's it. Wow. I wonder what that should be like. It feels like a deserted little island or something.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I just want to read this. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "I've come to the conclusion never again to think of marrying, and for this reason, I can never be satisfied with anyone who would be blockheaded enough to have me."
Mm.
So we think, when I read this, I thought to myself, yeah, it's not easy. Marriage is not easy. It's a real giving of 100%. I mean, not 50-50, but giving 100% of yourself to your partner in everything. And, you know, we're looking at heritage and identity in this time. What is heritage? What does it really mean to you as an individual?
For me, I think the key is the heritage that I have first has to be in Christ.
Yeah.
And as a result, you know, I'm blessed to have the mother and father that I do have, mm-hmm. you know, although, you know, our upbringing was a little wild and, you know, we had a lot of craziness around us and happened to us and was involved in as we grew up. You know, we gained a lot from having a mother who maybe from the world standard wasn't highly educated, but had a heart to love her boys and her family. So, and then on the other side, we had a father who came from nothing, from extreme poverty in New York, and educated himself to the point of doing very well for himself coming from poverty. And with that, those things are very valuable, but they can be a detriment if not taken under the submission of the Lord. You know, what's beautiful is how, you know, we were talking about, you know, we've been here in Cape Town now for coming up on a week. And it reminds me a lot of some of the larger metropolitan areas in the United States, these melting pots of different cultures, different colors, different communities. And in Christ, that's what we find that's so beautiful is that we have, you know, we can come here to Cape Town, South Africa, and worship the same God that we worship in Ohio in the mm-hmm. United States. And so what's beautiful is how much we can gain from one another, but also knowing that the chief culture that we're seeking is the kingdom culture.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true. You know, I'm listening to what you're saying there, and I realize that we have to be so intentional, you know, about how we move forward in everything that we do. And I don't know, David, if your values and similar heritage voice is the same.
So I would say it is. It's funny, you know, I look at my dad and my mom. Whenever we grew up, Dad started bringing us to the synagogue because he couldn't stand mom bringing us to church. So we kind of got both views of, you know, it's almost the same religion, but it's not. You know, Dad, he believes in God. He doesn't believe in Jesus. And we're still praying for that. But, you know, Mom, she would bring us to church. And even though that made our father mad, it's something she was willing to do anyway. You know, she would bite the bullet for us because she knew that Jesus is, he's the only way.
Yeah. You know?
And she had to instill Jesus in our lives at a young age. And I'm glad she did, because because of that, I always believed in Jesus. Now, following Jesus, I didn't always follow Jesus, but I always believed in him. And it's funny that that's kind of what changed my my walk and made me follow him, was because I'd heard someone say, you know who else believes in Jesus but does not follow him? The devil.
Yeah, that's so true. Family, we're going to come right back. I'm so encouraged by what you're hearing here right now. So get into this Heritage Day. We've got some beautiful things we're going to unpack after this break. All right, family, we're back again, and we're in the swing here. Welcome back to Couples of Destiny. If you've just tuned in, we've got Marty and David here with us from the U.S., and, you know, they look like Jews, guys. You must see their pictures. I'm sure you've seen it on the social media, and I'm so honored to be here with them. They've been here in South Africa, Cape Town, here with me now for a week, and they've seen different cultures and been into different places and spaces over this past week. I'm sure they've really eaten up and absorbed what is happening here in Cape Town. You know, Psalm 16 verse 6 says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And this is so beautiful. You know, our identity and heritage are God's given blessings. So what you have is God's given blessings. Do you have any family traditions that you've set?
I would say, a lot of, for us, the day-to-day, you know, I have three young boys. And so one thing that's become a pretty consistent thing is every evening story time.
Mm-hmm.
So especially with their mother. Occasionally I'll go in. They're a little bit more reluctant to have dad, but then I flare things up.
What is it with dads, huh?
I don't know. It's until we get in there and then like, oh, wait, right, this is great. I do like it when dad does story time. But with that story time, it's biblical story time.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, let us walk with you through scripture and show you, you know, because I think a lot of times families, when the only Bible that the kids hear is when they go to church, then there becomes this displacement of the way things are. Well, this is church and this is where God is versus this is where I'm home. You know, my wife and I have been a part of youth ministry off and on for years. And the first time that we had become youth pastors, one of the things I did was I had asked all the teenagers to write down the first thing that they think when they hear the word God. And most of them wrote church. And so for my wife and I'd say one of the big traditions that we've imposed in our house is that God is a regular part of conversation, that prayer is a regular part of conversation. And there's things, too, that we've picked up, you know, from our parents that we've made a part. One thing here recently that my wife and I decided to do was to have Passover. And so we had a Messianic Passover where it both included the original Passover along with all the foreshadowing of Jesus. And so, you know, there's parts of tradition from our family that we've kept, and there's also parts that we said, you know what, this maybe is something that's best to be left in the past.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. We have to be sensitive to that and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because we can so easily create a cultural something, you know, that is not pleasing in the eyes of God, but that's beautiful. And I think the children, like you said, the only God that they see is in church, or the way we conduct our lives, maybe the only Christ they hear about, even the world out there. And David, any family traditions?
Not really like Marty. It's funny because growing up, whenever we used to do the Passover with our dad and, which we haven't done that since we were little kids, but that's something that I always definitively remembered. And it's funny because after giving my life to Christ, I didn't realize that Christ was the Passover lamb. You know, he was the perfect sacrifice that whenever we went to Passover all those years growing up, I never put two and two together that's exactly what Christ did for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. I like the way that people celebrate and have built up little traditions for themselves. I mean, South Africa, the tradition, Young Heritage Days, family get together, do a cookout and, you know, have a barbecue, what you call barbecues, and we call it braaivleis and biltong and boerewors and all that. So, yeah, that is basically what we do over here. But there's a lot of ways, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they don't have to erase their differences, but they can celebrate the diversity. You know, we live in it, like you guys are explaining now in your homes, and we're living it in our communities, you know, and we have to embrace that. But there's a lot of ways in which you can model unity and diversity in your home, in your country, in your business, and even in your own personal life, just for yourself. You know, I always say people might not celebrate what you want to. So have your own celebration, you know, of something that you enjoy that witnesses to you, or maybe something that's between you and God, where God will say, okay, this is something special between you and I. Let's, you know, and you have that moment. And I always feel like that is our first go-to, you know, where God is on the forefront of everything that we do. You know, we do acknowledge Him in everything. So modeling respect in conflict is so good for children to look at as well, and teaching kingdom identity to them first is so important, which you mentioned earlier and earlier on. So we are first citizens of heaven, basically. And I've heard people from other countries say that, oh, I am first a sworn whatever to my country, swearing allegiance to their country. And I say, well, where's God? Isn't God first? And that really grieved my spirit, you know. And I hope that what I ministered to them would stay. I believe it did. Because for us, I said, you know, we believe Jesus Christ is Lord and we acknowledge Him and declare Him. But we don't do that before we pledge allegiance to our country, you know. I mean, that is just, I don't believe it's the right way to do it. So, serving and celebrating together, being an example, opening your home, engaging in community service, and being intentional, including people from different backgrounds in your circle. You know, we had our children, we have five daughters, and we always told them, bring your friends home. You know, and we saw the diversity and we would have to embrace that. You know, we even at our church sometimes, and only if your church does it as well, we also have, we have cookouts from all the different cultures, you know, and you taste all the different foods. It's such a beautiful time to celebrate this diversity. And I think couples don't just teach unity with words. They model it through everyday choices they make. You know, and that is so powerful for me. And I've been thinking about how in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13, it says, just as the body through one has many parts, so is it with Christ. Diversity enriches that unity. We are one. You know, it's not you over there and I there. And I think you alluded to that earlier as well. And then, of course, what spiritual heritage are you building for your children? They are seeing what you're displaying in your home. Is there anything else that you want them to see?
I think, you know, for for my wife and I, one of the big things that we really value having in the home is peace, is godly peace. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't conflict, that there isn't. I mean, we have three boys. I mean, we have conflict every single day, all over the couch, all over the trampoline, everywhere. But with that, you know, learning what actual godly peace looks like, you know, because for both my wife and I, a lot of our upbringing, there wasn't peace. And so learning what it means to come back to peace in the Lord when you're frustrated, when you're angry, when you're disappointed, you know, all of these are all things that we all are going to encounter throughout our entire lives. They're not, it's not something that's going to happen once and not happen again. And so whether it's great triumphs, being willing to say, all right, thank you, Lord, for this. And when it's great defeats, when it's great frustrations and disappointments. And so to me, that's one of the big legacies that my wife and I are very hungry for, is leaving that knowing of knowing Jesus is knowing peace and having peace that comes from within in our relationship with Him. Not externally from things that do or do not happen around us.
Right, that's so true. So if you look at this, David, in a way that you want to honor God in your marriage, you know, how do you think you can honor God as a couple while honoring your earthly heritage?
Well, you know, the thing with honoring God is if you live a, we'll say like a Galatians 5:22 life, the fruit of the Spirit, honoring God, you'll be able to live with joy, peace, all these different things, all the different fruits.
Mm.
And
just allow the peace to flow, you know. Just allow, let it manifest, you know. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we say, let it manifest in your life, because that is a good way to exhibit and show love.
And that's the thing, too, is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, it's like a giving thing. That's the way I visualize it. The fruit isn't for you.
Yeah.
It's for those around you.
That's right.
You know, and exalting him, I know, I don't remember what verse or what scripture it is. Whenever Jesus said, whenever I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal. That should be our work, is lifting him up in a way that others will see it and be drawn to it.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Lift him up and he will draw men unto you. And I think that's a beautiful example. It's a beautiful way to go. We're going to have another quick break. And, you know, this conversation is, there's so much to talk about, and I always get annoyed sometimes when the time is up. But let's just have another song break and we'll be back. And good to have you back, family. Don't forget our WhatsApp line for those who want to call in who need help is 081-729-1657. And we have in the studio this afternoon Marty and David from the U.S. speaking to us about heritage and what it's like to live a life honoring God in your marriage and in giving, leaving a legacy and heritage for your children. I want to just go back to the scripture you mentioned there earlier, Marty, about Galatians 3:8, that there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. You know, I like how the Apostle Paul always makes it very clear. I like the way he states things for us. You know, he just gives us so many nuggets to live by. And he says here, this category, he says, neither Jew nor Greek. Mm-hmm. He's speaking about ethnic, religious people, you know, all the different religions they are. And I think even the slave and free, that's a status, a social status of being. And whether you're male or female, we're speaking about gender. So it's the religious, the ethnicity, that word, you know, and then the social status, the gender, and also how all of these, that none of these can actually label or define any person, but it shouldn't limit a believer's value or place in Christ. And when he said this, when I first read the scripture, I realized that we have to look at everyone as the same. There's no one different than the other. You're not higher and mightier than another person, irrespective of your degrees or whatever status you hold. In Christ, we are one, you know. And I always marvel at the idea of how some people will look at someone who might be sweeping the street. Now, it may not be relevant, but I would rather have that person sitting in the front seats of the church. And instead of having all the dignitaries because they have all these suits and ties and the very polished shoes and all of that, yet we are equal.
Dr. Michael Heiser said it really well. We have to view each other like we're equal imagers of Christ.
Christ.
Yes.
I like that. So, you know, when we say we are one in God, spiritually equal, social distinctions no longer hold a device of power. So here's an activation, listeners, before we get into what our two guests want to say. I know they have something beautiful to say to you. I want to invite you to send us a voice note or a message or a WhatsApp, whatever it is, on the one tradition that you and your spouse started that you hope your children will continue, something that you want to go on with that. Marty, David, what is in your heart before we get to a close of the session?
I would say one thing that I think's very important. I think back to the early days of, you know, when my wife and I were courting one another and engaged, and we had a couple scriptures that we stood on. One was out of Song of Solomon, my sister, my spouse, in relationship to the way that we treated each other pre-marriage, that in order to walk in holiness before the Lord, and listen, if you're listening to this and maybe you're not married yet and you found that you've fallen short, that's what redemption is for. Get it before the Lord in repentance, and God can redeem anything. Mm-hmm. But for us, that was how we treat each other, as she's my sister in the Lord. before we're married. And until that point, that's how we treated one another. But another one was the scripture where Jesus told the parable of the man that built his house on the sand and the man that built his house on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I felt like the Holy Spirit had presented it to me is everything that I build in my life that's built upon the rock, it has God's standards and his grace upon it. And everything that I choose to build on the sand, it's subject to the storms of life and can easily crumble in a moment. And so that was how we felt we needed to develop our relationship, was in that standard of building our relationship upon Christ, upon his precepts of his word, and also the leading of his Holy Spirit, that God would drive us together if we put him in the driver's seat of both of our hearts in all things. And that's one thing I can encourage all couples, regardless of what state you are, not married or you are married, you have no children, you do have children. If you make God the center of your relationship, of the center of your household, really not just going to church, but your day-to-day life and prayer and reading and teaching and all of it, then you have God's blessing upon your house.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that everything's going to go good,
but
it does mean that everything you go through, God will be with you in the midst of it.
Amen. I like that. Yeah. I like that Christ is always with us.
That's, I'm kind of looking at the Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And it's funny, whenever me and Jess got married, you know, I was still a heathen. She was never a heathen. She's a sweetheart. But, you know, she wasn't saved either. And the funny thing is, I don't even know if she believed in God whenever we got together. She never went to church. Her mom went to church, but she never did. But at some point, there must have just been just enough Christ showing in me. I don't know how or why, because I was a despicable person. You know, I've spent virtually my entire adult life as a drug addict and, you know, far, far from God. But somehow, at some point, she must have seen enough Christ somewhere to spark an interest in her to where she started reading the Bible. I didn't even know this. And she would pray for me all the time. And, you know, prayers are answered. You know, it's like I think about, you know, why did Solomon ask for wisdom? Well, it was because of David, whenever he prayed in front of Solomon and said, please give my son wisdom and discernment for judging this people, Israel. And so it was like the covenant of that prayer with David was answered later on. And sometimes that's how prayers are. You know, God does things in his own way that we can't always understand, but it got us both to being believers in Christ and following Christ. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very beautiful.
Tell us a little bit about your addiction. How did you overcome that?
Well, it's funny. I didn't have like a night and day, radical transformation like Marty. Mine was kind of a slower onset. You know, it's like I said, I always believed in God, but I never followed God. And it was just kind of this thing. I was so far off, so removed from myself, my loved ones. I isolated. All I did was care about me. You know, that's kind of the thing about sin. It puts separation between you and God, everyone you love. You know, I was despicable. I was wicked, very, very wicked. And
you'll never tell. You look so innocent. You look like you're both wearing halos.
Hey, that's
whenever that's transformation.
Whenever you're a drug addict, that's what you want people to think.
Yeah.
You know? And so I spent my whole life trying to convince people I was fine, but I never was. Mm. And you know, I quit doing drugs. I started praying. I started talking to God. I started taking it serious. And whenever I quit drinking, I had a huge bourbon whiskey collection. I was big into bourbon whiskey, expensive, big, big collection. And it was just something I enjoyed. I didn't have to have it, but I enjoyed it. And I knew it was wrong. I had this little conviction in my heart to quit, but not big enough to really quit. And I was talking to God one evening on my ride home from work, and he just put this vision in my head. Like, it was like we just had a whole conversation about not drinking, and it concluded with me not drinking. So I said, all right, I'll quit. So that's why that evening, I know this was like the confirmation. I got back to our campground to home or whatever, and there was a bottle of bourbon I'd ordered. It was like a $500 bottle that I could not wait to get, and it was there waiting for me right after that conversation with God.
Wow.
So I kept it. I put a 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone that's in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old is past, the new has come. And
love it. I love it. You know, and I would think when you say all those bottles and all of it, $500, you're more wealthier now.
Oh, absolutely.
About all that money you spent.
Yep.
You know, I see people have all these displays of all these expensive wines, and they make a, what do you call it, a little idol of it,
You
know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish a lightning would come and just strike it. You know, we'd love to hear your transformation story. And I know it's probably all just about a decision. I mean, we all had to make a decision. I had to make a decision as well. Stop smoking, stop having a whiskey as well or whatever. And it all starts there with a desire. You want to change. It all comes from within, you know. So when we say yes, God, he will place that peace upon us, and he gives us the ability and the strength to overcome and to walk in victory and power, isn't it? It's how amazing God is, because he handpicks us for a time when we are ready, not because the word says, you know, we've been saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it is a gift from God. So we're going to have another quick break before we listen to Marty's story. Well, listen to us, David. You were speaking about your story.
So, well, I actually have a bit of advice for the single people in Christ, that, you know, if you're single, the best advice I could give you is to run as fast as you can towards Christ. And then if you look over and see someone has kept up with you, introduce yourself.
Awesome. That's a good tool. Good advice. And for you, my friend, how was your journey? When did you make that switch to transform?
Well, so I was 17, getting ready to turn 18. I blessed in that I didn't fall into addiction the way, you know, that David had. You know, we both were at that time, you know, dabbling in various things, you know, drinking and other things at that time, but nothing too hard. For me, I joke, you know, the longest relationship I had before my wife was 2 weeks. I didn't have committed relationships. You know, when I was a young boy, you know, I felt like I'd had my heart broken over and over by girls. And I thought, you know what, as wicked as it sounds, I thought, well, now I'm going to get back. And so whenever I encountered the Lord, for me, it was a very drastic moment. My heart was softened. A best friend of him and I's, who played music with us, who was my age, he died suddenly in a car accident after one of our shows. And it had been, you know, I remember David and I talking about, man, it's so good that this guy's getting to play this show, because we had played shows out before, but this was his first time. And everything was good. You know, we went back to our house. We were, you know, partying and things like that. And him and his girlfriend stopped by, and they asked if we wanted to go to this certain place. And we said, no, we're good. And next thing you know, later that evening, we're getting a phone call, and he's been life flighted to the hospital. And his death caused me to start asking the question, where is he? Is he just gone? Is he being reincarnated? And so it opened my heart to the reality of, I want to know what happens when we run headlong into death. Because in reality, that's in all of our futures. None of us are getting out of this thing alive.
Yeah.
And so then once all the members of our band started getting saved, I reluctantly went to church with them just to shut them up. But there was a part of me, I had gone to church before, and I wasn't reluctant then. It's like my soul knew that my destiny I was going to run into at that church service. And I knew nothing about the Bible. They were preaching about the disciple Peter. I thought they were talking about a member of their church. And I remember when I was given the opportunity to accept Christ, I didn't even understand what that meant. But I did know that when I walked in that building, I experienced a peace like I'd never known before. And I said, man, if I can keep this, it's worth it. And from that day, I never got high again. I never drank again. You know, I never fell into sexual sin like that again with somebody else. It that day, I went from darkness into light. And it doesn't mean that I was perfect. I entered into the process of sanctification.
Yeah, that is amazing. And I'm sure when you tell your children that story, they're going to start saying, wow, your dad can, I can, you know. So, yeah, do you want to say a prayer to the listeners out there? And there may be someone who's been an addict, or someone who's listening and knows of someone who's an addict and they want to get out of it. And also just pray for the couples out there, and especially on this Heritage Day.
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Listen, if you're listening to this, and maybe you aren't following Christ like you know you should be. Maybe you haven't surrendered your life. Today's the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can pray this simple prayer with me, and then I'm going to pray over you. If you haven't accepted Christ and you want to now, just say this simple prayer. Jesus, I want you. Accept my offer of giving over my sin to you. Forgive me for my sin. Wash me in your blood. I am born again. I will follow you, Jesus. Amen. And for all of those listening, I just pray now that fathers, you would be godly men, mothers, you would be godly women of God, that you would succeed in all that God has called you to, and the fervency and the hunger of God would be stirred up in your hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Wow, family, this is a wrap-up. Thank you for joining us today on Couples of Destiny as you celebrate Heritage Day today. Remember, your greatest heritage is not just what you inherit, but what you create together in Christ. So until next time, keep on building marriages of destiny. Blessings to everyone. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.